Lodagear continued.
I'd like you to know that I fully took up Paphlagon's earlier point about using consciousness as the laboratory for observing the so-called Hylian flow, but is this the best we can do? It is nothing more than a regurgitation of Evanadrician Datonomy in its most primitive form.
I spent 2 years at Barito writing a treatise on Evanadrician Datonomy, mentioned Ignatha Forrell, sounding more amused than angry. I got out of the room, which seemed more politic than laughing out loud. Back in the kitchen, I poured myself a drink and braced my arms on a counter, taking a load off my feet.
Are you all right?
Carvel asked. She and I were the only servitors in the room.
Yeah, just tired. That took a lot out of me.
Well, I thought you spoke really well, for what that's worth.
Oh, thanks, I said. It's worth a lot, actually.
Grandsira Moira says we are doing something now.
I beg your pardon?
She believes that the Messel is on the verge of coming up with new ideas, instead of just talking about old ones.
Well, that's really something, from such a distinguished lorite.
It's all because of the pact, she says. If they hadn't come and brought new Givens, it might never have happened.
Well, my friend Jessery will be pleased to hear it, I said. He's wanted it all his life.
What have you wanted all your life?
Carval asked. Me? I don't know. To be as smart as Jessery, I guess.
Tonight, you are as smart as anyone, she said.
Thanks, I said. If that's true, it's all because of Orlo.
And because you were brave.
Well, some would call it stupid. If I hadn't had that conversation with Ayla at breakfast, I'd probably be falling in love with Carval about now. But I was pretty sure Carval wasn't in love with me, just stating facts as she saw them. To stand here and receive compliments from an attractive young woman was quite pleasant, but it was of a whole lesser order of experience from the continuous finger-in-an-electrical-socket buzz that I experienced during even brief interactions with Ayla. I ought to have volleyed some compliments back, but I was not brave in that moment. The Lorites had a kind of grandeur that intimidated. Their elaborate style, shaving the head, performing hours of knotwork just to get dressed, was, I knew, a way of showing respect for those who had gone before, of reminding themselves every day just how much work one had to do to get up to speed and be competent to sift new ideas from old. But my knowing that symbolism didn't make Carval any more approachable. We were distracted by Javarn's strangely inflected voice on the speaker.
Because of the way we Matterites keep to ourselves, not even Sor Moira might have heard of him we honor as Sant Atamant.
I don't recognize the name, Moira said.
He was, to us, the most gifted and meticulous introspectionist who ever lived.
Introspectionist? Is that some sort of a job title within your order?
Lodagear asked, not unkindly.
It might as well be, Javarn returned. He devoted the last 30 years of his life to looking at a copper bowl.
What was so special about this bowl? Asked Ignatha Forrell.
Nothing. But he wrote, or rather dictated, 10 treatises that explained all that went on in his mind as he gazed on it. Much of it has the same flavor as Orlo's meditations on counterfactuals. How Adamant's mind filled in the unseen back surface of the ball with suppositions as to what it must look like. From such thoughts, he developed a metatheorics of counterfactuals and compossibility that, to make a long story short, is perfectly compatible with all that was said during our first Messel about hemmed space and world tracks. He made the assertion that all possible worlds really existed and were every bit as real as our own. This caused many to dismiss him as a lunatic.
But that is precisely what the polycosmic interpretation is positing, said Sir Asquin.
Indeed.
What of our second evening's discussion? Has Sant Atamant anything to say about that?
I have been thinking about that very hard. You see, 9 of his treatises are mostly about space. Only 1 is about time. But it is considered harder to read than the other 9 put together. But if there is applicability of his work to the Hylian flow, it is hidden somewhere in the 10th treatise. I reread it last night. This was my Lukab.
And what did Adamant's copper bowl tell him of time? Lodagear asked.
I should tell you first. that he was knowledgeable about theorics. He knew that the law of theorics were time-reversible, and that the only way to determine the direction of time's arrow was to measure the amount of disorder in a system. The cosmos seems oblivious to time. It only matters to us. Consciousness is time-constituting. We build time up out of instantaneous impressions that flow in through our sensory organs at each moment. Then they recede into the past. What is this thing we call the past? It is a system of records encoded in our nerve tissue, records that tell a consistent story.